cloud. And I'll go ahead and live stream to YouTube. And I'll let you know when we're live streaming. It's getting the live stream ready. Okay, I think we're live now. Hey, Farouk, here's a link. I'm going to put a link to the live stream in the chat in case you want to. But we can both just kind of keep an eye on the chat over there.
Right, sounds good.
Would you also
Okay.
put a link in the virtual speech masters for
In
us
the Zoom chat?
in the WhatsApp?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay. All
Yeah,
right. So let's go ahead and get started.
sounds good. All right. Hi, everybody. I hope everybody's doing pretty good. And me and Michael, we wanted to have a conversation on something that we have heard a lot of people speaking about, asking questions inside the virtual speech masters, inside of a one-on-one. So we just thought about having a discussion, and I think that having this discussion where we are doing it, where everybody can see it, I think this can definitely be something which can be really helpful. So you're always welcome to add on something, ask something if you're here with us in the Zoom session. If you're not, if you are on the YouTube live stream, you can ask us questions right there. Or if you're watching a replay of this, probably you can email to us or let us know about this. So, Michael, let's discuss about negative anticipation. I have heard it a lot from the people that I've been working with, and we hear it a lot inside the virtual speech masters, and I'm sure you have been hearing it for the last like 14, 15 years, this word of anticipation. I hope I don't get stuck. I hope I don't stutter and stuff like that. So what are the usual questions that you hear around negative anticipation, or what do people usually say about that?
Well, it's probably one of the most common challenges that I would say 100% of our students, 100% of our clients struggle with this to one degree or another. I mean, if they didn't struggle with it, they probably wouldn't have engaged with us in any way. So it's super common. I think that we all struggle with it to one degree or another. And the most common question is like, how do I get rid of it? How do I get over it? So, excuse my voice. One of the first things that we can do is define it, because it's practically the same as worry. It's similar to anxiety, but they're all a little distinct, right? So when one feels anxious about something, you could look at that as just being more general in nature. Just feel anxious, right? So, I mean, you could be anxious about something specific, but when we use the word anxiousness or anxiety, it's generally a little more general. When we say worry, we're generally speaking about something that's more specific. I'm worried about an upcoming event. I'm worried about introducing myself. I'm worried about having to read aloud. I'm worried about a conversation, an interview, a presentation. So it's more specific and directed. So your worry is directed at something that's going to happen. So you keep thinking about it. And then when we talk about negative anticipation, that's probably very, very much closely related to worry, right? We can almost, they're almost indistinguishable. The way I describe worry is just, it's tighter than anxiousness. But when we get to negative anticipation, we could be talking about specific letters or words or sounds, or you can negatively anticipate an upcoming event, like introducing yourself or saying my name or whatever. So I just wanted to define those two, worry and negative anticipation, very, very similar. But if you wanted to more clearly define it, you could say negative anticipation is very specific, very, very specific, even down to a sound or a word.
Makes sense. And what most of the people say about it when they're asking something is that they are like, I'm speaking well on certain speaking situations, but I feel like I'm still anticipating a bit and I'm working hard to get rid of that anticipation. I'm trying to not focus on that anticipation, or I'm trying to not let that happen. But unfortunately or fortunately, there's no way to like try to not anticipate, and then you don't anticipate. It's often the same thing as trying to not get stuck. I hope I don't get stuck. Anticipation is the same way. The more you fear it, the more you're like, I hope it does not happen, or I don't want it to happen, or I'm working to not let that anticipation happen. The more you're focusing on it, and the more your brain gives that to you. So I think one problem that people often face in getting out of this loop is that they're trying too hard to get out of this loop. And I think this is also one of the things that keeps them stuck, that I don't want to anticipate, because they believe that, which we are going to talk about, Michael, in a few minutes, that me anticipating means that I would get stuck. Me anticipating means that I would struggle. Me anticipating means that I just have to say this one thing in this one single way. There's no other way in the world. And that's why I don't want to anticipate. So it often becomes a belief system that anticipation means I would get stuck. So people worry about it more. People try to get rid of it more. And because of them trying to get rid of it more, the more it actually begins to happen. Would you agree with this, Michael?
Yeah, and you kind of made me think about that. I think you said it several months ago, maybe a year ago, just even worrying about negative anticipation or worrying about anticipating. And I hadn't really thought about that so much as just the negative anticipation and worry itself. But yeah, there's a whole phenomena, if you will, of I hope I don't negatively anticipate or worry about this, or I really want to stop doing this. And so that alone causes them to become more anxious. And then they start to fixate on not anticipating, right? Or not worrying. And that causes them to actually start to worry and anticipate more. Right. And so it's just a very vicious, nasty cycle. And sometimes the best solution is, I'm going to say sometimes, we know that one of the best solutions is to train yourself not to worry about worrying, right? Not to worry about negatively anticipating. Of course, that sounds easy, but like you said today, we're going to talk about some specific ways, just different strategies that you've used, that you've taught, that have worked for you, your clients, in ways that have worked for me as well. If there's
Absolutely.
anyone out there in the audience that wants to chime in, please feel free to either chat, you can send us a chat, or you can open up your mic or even your video.
Yep, see it more like a group conversation or stuff, so you can always chime in. So, Michael, I think the more, like you said, it's worrying about worrying, and when you worry about worrying, the worry comes in more. I think it often comes with a belief that if I negatively anticipate, I would necessarily struggle. For example, people often associate it with if my heart is beating really fast, or if my hands are beginning to sweat. People make it a belief that that means that I'm going to struggle. But oftentimes, if not all the time, perhaps that's not the case. So there have been oftentimes where we have gone to stages or speaking situations with the people that have been working with us in the speech masters or whatever. They also say that at the start, my heart is beating really fast. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling all those kinds of feelings, but still, when they get started speaking, they try to use their new speaking style to slow their speech down, they breathe more, and they are able to speak well. So it's not just once, but I believe that once it keeps happening over and over again, your brain sees that, okay, even if you are anticipating negatively, you can still do something. And by you doing that something, you're still speaking smoothly. So the brain sort of starts to stop worrying about worrying because it knows that even if you do anticipate, you can still speak well. Even if your heart is beating fast, your hands are sweating, your breathing is getting shallow before a speaking situation, you're feeling all of that. But when you get started speaking, you use your new speaking style, you focus on the things that we speak about, and you still see yourself speaking smoothly. So now the link that the brain has formed between heart beating fast means that I would get stuck, or I would struggle, or whenever I anticipate it means I would struggle, that bond begins to weaken, and the brain starts to realize that it's not necessarily the case. So you stop worrying about worrying, you stop worrying about, I hope my heart does not start beating fast. I hope that does not happen because that means that I would get stuck. And once you keep doing that over and over again, I think, do you think, Michael, like that is a place where the bond starts to weaken a bit about this association?
Well, I think you just use this word. It disassociates. It's your brain disassociates worrying or negatively anticipating. It disassociates that from performance, right? Where right now there's a link. Uh-oh, if I worry about this, or uh-oh, because I anticipated this, I'm going to get stuck. And then it has a physiological effect on us. Our breathing gets shallower. Our throat starts to tighten up, right? We can lose our breath. We get choppy just because we're now anticipating something. But once you learn that just because you anticipate something doesn't mean it's going to affect your performance. So then your brain disassociates the two, and therefore, oftentimes you will either diminish, reduce, or eliminate negative anticipation in many or most of your situations, just because you've disassociated the two. Which brings me to some strategies that we can start to kind of share. One thing that I always say is that there are at least a few things, at least three, maybe five, that you need to be confident about. And one of those is that there's certain things that you have control over. One is your breathing. When someone goes into a panic attack, one of the things that they always tell you to do is take deep breaths. Sometimes they tell you to do a four count, or breathe into a bag, or take a slow, controlled breath in and then breathe out. So obviously, unless you've fallen out, you have control over your breathing. Number two, you have control over your pacing, believe it or not, over your speed. You can slow your speech down no matter what, right? And if you don't believe you can, then you won't try. Or when you try, and if it doesn't work quite well, then you won't continue to try to. So once you know I can control my pacing, my speed, right? I can control my breathing. I can also control my body movement, right? I can use my hands, I can use my face and my mouth. This helps to exert but also dispel more energy. Why is that important? Because if you're tight and you're stiff, you're constricting, you're restricting, you're keeping all of that energy inside, right? And so you're tight. But if you start to move a little bit, that can help dispel some of that energy. So you can control that, your body movements, right? Your body language. And you can control, believe it or not, your self-talk, what you say to yourself. Now, some of these things you may have to train yourself to do, but all of these things you can pretty much do right now. You can start to do these things right now. And then the more that you do them, you'll find the more control you have over your performance. So just like you were saying, Farouk, there are times where you go out, you're worrying, you're negative anticipating. But once you understand that I have control over these things, you'll probably find that your performance is quite well. It goes quite well because you've controlled your breathing, you've slowed your pacing, you're reminding yourself to do certain things.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's often like the more that anticipation or the more that anxiety or heart beating or whatever it starts to rise, usually what happens is that you get fast, your pace gets faster, your breathing gets faster, and everything goes hand in hand with that. But what you consciously need to do, excuse me, I have a sore throat, so I'm speaking a bit low. So if that thing, that anticipation, that worry starts to rise, consciously by that self-talk, you have to make sure that you get your pace down, that you get your breathing pace down as well. Don't let them go hand in hand. If you do something that's the complete opposite of how you're feeling, if you're feeling really anxious or if you're feeling like I might get stuck and your heart is beating fast, naturally, you would go faster. Naturally, your breathing would start to become quite shallow. What you have to do is do the complete opposite of that. Just let yourself know that the more anxious, or rather we call it excited, because those feelings are similar. It's just about how you reframe it. And if you reframe it as excitement, you can use it to your advantage. So the more you consciously let yourself know that the more I'm going to feel that way, the slower I'm going to make my pace, the more deep I'm going to breathe, the slower I'm going to do my hand movements, the more I'm going to do my. So when you consciously do that, and not just once, over and over and over and over again, that is where you start to form those successful experiences, and you start to make your brain realize once again the same thing, that you were anticipating, you were thinking that it's not going to go well, you were worrying, but I was still able to do these things and still speak smoothly. So it's often like the brain realizing that even if I feel that way, I have the tools to manage that. I have things that I can do that will still make me speak the way that I want. And that is where we are talking about this disassociation of thinking this means this, worrying means necessarily getting stuck. And when that starts to happen, like things start to get a lot easier on that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, do you have something to add on this, Michael, before we
Yeah.
move on?
Just wanted to jump in and talk about negative anticipation or worry, anxiousness, and how this affects our sympathetic nervous system and our parasympathetic nervous system. So when we get worried or anxious or we negatively anticipate, it triggers or activates our sympathetic nervous system. It sounds like it should be the opposite, but it's not. So this is our fight or flight. And it's our fight or flight mode. And what this can do is it can do, we call it, it can hijack your speech. It can hijack your thinking, your prefrontal cortex, your thinking brain, the one that we use when we're analyzing or making decisions, when we're trying to answer a question or say something. That can all get hijacked in part by the amygdala, that part of our brain that manages fight or flight. It's very necessary. So we start to anticipate, and the next thing we know, we get cloudy, breathing gets more shallow, we forget what we want to say, we can even start to stutter. Even people who don't typically stutter can start to stutter when this happens. So what do they tell you? Well, what we say is that breathing is one of the things that can help activate your parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest. But not only breathing, believe it or not, and Farouk, you and I have talked about this extensively, slowing down. So this is another strategy that we're giving you. And I did a whole course on this, and I have a whole affirmations program, not just on slowing down, but that's a big part of it. When you slow everything down, you literally activate your parasympathetic nervous system, which starts to calm you down. You feel more calm, relaxed, restful. Okay? This is important. And this is a specific strategy, as well as a, what do we want to call this? It's a habit, right? Once you start learning, hey, I need to breathe more, I need to slow down, especially in higher pressure speaking situations, then you begin to activate your parasympathetic nervous system.
Absolutely, and activating it is incredibly important. And it's often you will find that just during the start of a presentation, start of an interview, start of a meeting, start of a conversation, even with your boss, or you want to reach out to someone and speak to them. If you can activate your parasympathetic nervous system by doing these things in the first 1 or 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, you get into a very good flow. And I'm sure you must have experienced it in the past that once you activate your flow, once you activate this style, it starts to really flow. So that is why you would often hear a saying that, especially during this start of a meeting, of a presentation, whatever the speaking situation is, we often ask people to go super slow or to breathe super deep. Because your tendency during the start, especially, look at your speech. When do you speak the fastest? It's often at the start. Because people have a lot of their anxiety at the start, which makes them speak fast. And if you try to go slow, sometimes that's not enough. Because of us being very fast speakers, what means slow might not actually be slow. Because sometimes me and Michael, we have seen speaking to people. We ask them to slow down their speech, and they think they are slowing down, but actually they are not. So make sure that you focus on the other extreme of going super slow, especially at the start, of breathing super deep, of doing a lot of self-talk to remind yourself of these things before a speaking situation and during the start. Then you would feel like if you can do it in the first 2, 3 minutes, you start to feel more comfortable. And it generally starts to go well. You still need to see it and still do some self-talk if you feel like you're still not in the zone. And make sure to keep doing that self-talk to keep you in the zone of using your new speaking style. But it's mostly at the start. If you can get into a good flow, it usually starts to flow really, really well. So make sure you do the complete opposite things, especially at the start, and also as you move forward. But as you begin to be a bit more comfortable, then it generally gets a lot easier. Do you have a comment on that, Michael, before I move on to the point about anticipation of words?
No, we can go ahead. Just you mentioned something earlier that I think is very important, reframing. I just had a client the other day tell me, I don't know if it was a he or she, but it was literally just a couple of days ago, how he or she reframing upcoming speaking situations. I think it might have been Vanessa, actually. And she was just talking about reframing. Yes, I'm excited about this, as opposed to either saying or thinking or feeling, I'm nervous, I'm anxious. Now, I'm excited. And you may think, oh, that's just a little trick, but often we do have to trick our brains, and it really does work. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And I think I put some stuff in the chat. One of my clients named Lee or Lay, she says, affirmations are helping me replace negative anticipation with confidence. I feel capable and ready to speak. This is why within our program itself, there are affirmations, and then I have a separate affirmations program. And so by listening to and or repeating, you can help to lower and reduce negative anticipation and worry. So that's another solution, is self-talk, yes, but self-talk, affirmations, and listening is another solution. It's a passive solution, so you almost don't have to do anything.
Incredibly important. I think this was one of the things, if not one thing, that was most important for me, because you need to change the content of your thoughts. You can do it by self-talk. You can do it by doing those affirmations on your own. But oftentimes, it's the fact that your mind begins to believe that content more, or your mind begins to believe those thoughts more when they come from someone who was at the place where you were and now is at the place where you want to be. So once you hear the thoughts from them, and over again, it becomes more believable, and your own self-talk and everything gets a lot easier with that. So audio listening, changing the content of your thoughts is definitely something which is super duper important. And Michael has been doing a program on the affirmations thing. I think you've shared the link also, Michael, right here. So definitely something to check out. And while you were talking about that reframing thing into excitement and anxiety and stuff like that, you often need to realize that that feeling is also important. So when people go on stage, they have that excitement feeling that we call, and that's important, because otherwise people would be standing and speaking like this and on stage. And so that feeling is quite natural, and it's there to help you out. It's just about how you reframe it and how you use it, because it's a form of energy. And if you can use that excitement energy and use it to use your new speaking style to invest that energy on focusing even more on slowing down, breathing more, emphasizing words, using your hands, later on, inflections, all of that. So you begin to use that energy in the right way. So it's not that when we go on stage, like if there are 1,000 people or more than that, I will have that feeling, or we will have that feeling as well. Even the best of the speakers that you see out there in the world, I'm sure that they have a certain kind of that nervousness that we calling excitement, but it's there to help you out. So don't ever think that I will try to eliminate it 100%, or I have to eliminate that feeling, because that's not natural. And why not to use something that's there for your advantage and try to eliminate it? It's just about how you use it. So reframe it into excitement and use that energy for you now. Just use that energy to use more and more of your new speaking style. So the reframing thing is incredibly important because of this reason as well. Right, Michael? So let's jump a bit into anticipation of words that people often talk about, that I'm speaking smoothly, I'm going well, and I see a word and I feel like I might get stuck on the word. And often I'm not even onto the word and I start getting stuck before that, because now I'm worrying about that word and I feel like I will have a hard time. So what are your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we've seen people, I know you and I both have, and like you mentioned, before they even open their mouth to speak, right? Let's say they're speaking smoothly or fairly smoothly, and then they anticipate a word, it has a ripple effect, and it flows back and starts affecting them before they get to that word, right? Or you anticipate, or you just get the sense or the feeling like, uh-oh, I'm gonna get stuck. Sometimes people will wake up and go, I'm gonna have a bad speaking day. I can feel it. Or, like we're talking about now, I feel like I'm gonna get stuck on this word. So then it affects everything they do before that word, and they often get stuck on that word. So what we're trying to do now is give you some strategies and or techniques or tricks and tips that you can use to disassociate, right, anticipation or worry from actually getting stuck, your performance, that those two things don't have to happen either simultaneously or one after the other. And we're also trying to let you know that by using some of the tools that we're sharing with you, you can begin to create a new habit and pattern of just not negatively anticipating at all, right? So that you're reducing it because it's just not something that you need to do because your brain is not worried about it. The way I like to say it, if I were going to summarize it, is when your identity changes, you start to see yourself as someone who can handle virtually any speaking situation, regardless of if you get stuck or anticipate or regardless of how you feel. Right? Do I anticipate? Hardly ever, but definitely in Spanish, probably yes. In English, probably not. But I'm sure that I would or could. And in fact, yeah, there are maybe one or two words that if I think about it, somebody says, oh, you could possibly get stuck on that word. Does it bother me? No. It doesn't bother me. So because it doesn't bother me, let's just say the vast majority of the time, it's not going to affect my performance. But even if I got stuck or I were about to get stuck, I still know that I can still handle it. So that alone, knowing that you're going to be able to handle it, what does that do? That builds your confidence, first of all. It reduces anxiety and negative anticipation, just knowing that even if it happens, I'll be able to handle it.
Absolutely, absolutely. That makes super duper sense. And I think one mistake, Michael, that people often do with the words and stuff like that, that when they start to anticipate a word and they feel like they might get stuck, and we have often spoken about it, is people think that I want to say this, and there's just this one way of saying this. So I want to say my name. And someone asks me my name, I just want to give my name to them in the single way, in the same way. So you definitely cannot expect good results to happen by doing the same thing that you used to do. If you're repeating the same thing over and over again, more than likely you will get the same result out of it. So that is one of the reasons why people anticipate a lot of words and worry about the word anticipation is because they feel like they only have this one option of saying a certain thing. They don't realize that now they have all of the tools inside the pro-90D speech system that they've learned from, for example, that even if they anticipate a word, they can extend it out, they can emphasize it. They can blend it with the words previous to it. They can inflect on the word previous to it. When they begin to realize that they have all of those tools, and they also begin to realize that in the worst case, if I feel like nothing is working, I can even change the way I say this one thing. There's never one single way to say a specific thing. Find out how many ways there are to give your name, what words you can add before. What's the rhythm that you can speak in, right? How you can change that up. So once you know that, for example, there are 75 different ways of saying this one thing, the pressure starts to go off. And often that's a very good thing that we have noticed, which is also quite funny in a sense that just when the pressure starts to go off by you knowing that you have a lot of options, sometimes you don't even need to use another option. You just end up saying it in the first way because now it makes you so much relaxed. So that's where we have often talked about the law of flexibility comes in. The more you know about, I have a lot of options, I have the tools, so you begin to be more flexible. Yes, Michael.
Yeah, let me just jump in real quick and then you can continue. But I just wanted to jump in here because when you're talking about specific words, so let's just come down to words and letters or sounds. And I've told this story before, so I'll share it as quickly as I can. Many years ago, I was in the military and I was in charge of a platoon and I had to stand up and call them to attention. Attention. So the only word I could say is attention. And I couldn't get that word out. And it was embarrassing. And I had to call my platoon sergeant up, come up. Said, just go ahead and call them to attention. I'll explain why later. So they did it. So then I had to explain. So here's a situation, a rare situation where supposedly you can only say this one word. In most situations, trust me, it's not like that. It's just you can always add a sound or a word or something. But this situation where I thought I couldn't, but actually what I ended up doing was just literally changing the way I said that word. So even then, if you feel like I have to say this word, you still can apply the law of flexibility and freedom and say, but I still have some freedom and flexibility in how I say that word. Maybe I can add a sound. Maybe I can over-articulate that word, or we call it emphasize. I can inflect. I can use my hands or use my body or something. I can do something with that sound, with that word to change it, which tricks your brain. So what I did is I figured out how to say, oh, like I would just do something with my throat. I can't even explain what it was, but I'm just like, oh, so I added some style to it. So instead of just trying to say attention, I would say oh, attention, like that's just kind of singing. And just by adding some style to it, let's call it emphasis, I was able to say it. And believe it or not, I probably anticipated a little bit when I had to do it, but the negative anticipation dropped down so that I'd say most of the time I didn't even anticipate it. But even if I did, I knew I could say it because I had started to do it just by doing that little change. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. It's really good that you say this because often people just think about the fact that do I have to do this for the rest of my life? Like if I cannot say my name or if I cannot say my word that I have to say, and we say that blend it with the words previous to it or change the way you say it, do I have to keep doing it for the rest of my life? And mostly the answer is no, because just like Michael explained, once your brain sees that you're saying that word or you're saying those words smoothly over and over and over and over again, it just realizes that it's not a problem anymore. The brain likes to focus on problems, what's not going well. And once the brain starts to realize that it's no longer a problem, it starts to shift its focus away from that. So that is where that anticipation worry starts to go away. And now, Michael, I'm sure that if you would do that, you would just say that one word in whichever way you want. Same is the case with me, like saying my name, saying the name of my country. Especially one issue for me was saying the word present when my attendance was being marked. And the attendance was being marked one after another, roll numbers, and whenever I used to raise my hands up, and she did not, I still remember like when she used to mark the attendance, she did not used to look up. So her head would be down and she would be marking it. The whole class, like 50, 60 people watching me, and they're like, man, what the hell? Why don't you say this? Because often people don't just realize it. So I had to say the word present, But just like even adding a slight I'm present, I'm present, I'm present, 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 right? So you can even play around with that one word, adding a little quiet sound or doing whatever you want to do. And literally, it was just 7 or 8 times that I did it continuously. And those were the amount of successes or the sample size that my brain wanted to realize that, oh, it's good. No need to worry about it. You can easily say that. And then I was easily able to say that. So you don't have to do these things for the rest of your life. So just realize that if you anticipate, give yourself options. And that is where, once again, we come back to the first point. You stop worrying about anticipation because you know that even if I anticipate a word, I know what to do with it. I'll change the way I say it. I'll blend it with the words previous to it. I'll inflect on it or I'll emphasize it. So once you know you have the tools, or I'll change it or I'll say it in another way, your brain once again starts to realize, okay, so anticipation is not a problem because even if I anticipate, I know what to do with it. And once again, the more your brain sees that, oh, you are anticipating, but by using the tools, by using what you're learning from the system, you're still able to say that out smoothly. So it says that, oh, anticipation is not a problem. So even if the anticipation comes, it does not mean that I would get stuck because I know what to do with it. And once I do that, I'm able to speak smoothly. So once again, that dissociation between negative anticipation and getting stuck starts to happen. And because of this disassociation in your brain once again, it starts to worry less about anticipation because it knows that even if it comes, it's no longer a problem. So don't approach it like I have to end anticipation. I have to try to focus on not anticipating because once you do that, it's going to happen more. But once you show yourself that even during anticipation, like even if I anticipate, so what? I can still say what I need to say. That is where that disassociation happens. You don't worry about anticipation, and the anticipation starts to reduce by itself. It starts to go down, it starts to go away. Would you agree, Michael?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's one of the, I would say, one of the easier ways to reduce and or eliminate negative anticipation and worry is actually through the law of indirect effort. You don't try to attack it directly, you just do something else, right? And the something else is you build up your tool set. You start using your tool set, you get out there, you understand I have different ways that I can say this from introductory words. Sounds like I just said, but I didn't say it because I was going to get stuck, but just introductory words, sounds, change the order. As a last resort, I can change the word if I need to, right? So I have different ways, and if I need to say this word, I can even change the way that I say this word. All of that builds up a new belief that whether or not I negatively anticipate or worry, even whether or not I get stuck, I can still smoothly handle it. That alone builds your confidence, gives you more calmness, and that can help you accomplish that goal of reducing and or eliminating negative anticipation, just that belief. Right? So it's kind of an indirect way of coming at it. I don't know if you had something else to say about that, but I did want us to look at this next thing in here, and you're probably going to do it anyway. Overcoming anxiety, negative anticipation before and during speaking moments. We've talked about that already, but yeah, we probably want to converse about that a little bit. What do you think about that? And if you have something else to add to the other thing, please feel free. And if anyone else has questions or specific situations you want to ask us about, you can either type in the chat box or chime in verbally or audibly.
Absolutely. So, no, Michael, not much to add on to that. I think you added on to that pretty well right there. So, yep, it has a huge role to play. So, remember, the law of flexibility. The more flexible you are, the more options you have. The more options you have, the less the pressure would be. And when the pressure is less, often, like we said at the start, you're often able to say that in that one single way. You might not even have to use another way that we are talking about, because just knowing I have so many options, it makes you relaxed that you might not even have to do that. And an even later stage that comes on to that is that when you start to realize that even getting stuck is not a big deal. So that is where you also stop anticipating. Now, I'm not worrying about getting stuck right now because I know it's not a big deal. Even if I get stuck, so what? Everyone does. So that's also a point where you start to realize that getting stuck is not a big deal. When it stops becoming a big deal, that negative anticipation automatically starts to lessen because you know that it's not a big deal. If it happens once in a while, it happens with everyone. The more you try to be 100% fluent, and we already spoke a lot about that in the last webinar, so you might want to check that out if you haven't. So when we start to realize that even getting stuck sometimes here or there, it's just naturally the way people speak and it's not a big deal, that's also a point where that worry about it starts to lessen. And when that worry about it starts to lessen, it happens less. So it becomes a positive loop. So you get yourself out of that negative loop and get yourself into that positive loop that keeps helping you for the rest of your life.
That's right. That's right. So let's kind of chat about some things, and we may repeat ourselves here, but things that we can do before, during, and even after speaking, so that we can again reduce and or eliminate negative anticipation or worry. So what do you think are some things that you've done personally, or things that you've taught and seen people use effectively before speaking, just all throughout the day? What are some things that you've seen people doing that helps to reduce or eliminate that?
Absolutely. So I think that mostly all of the things that we have spoken about so far, and it's also about a mindset shift that often starts to happen once you start getting to the later stages of it, is you start to focus more on what we call inside the system, wake and wreck. You start to focus more on what value do you need to add to a conversation, to a presentation, to a meeting? How impactful can you make it? How can you speak in a way where it is extremely clear? So the mindset shift starts to happen like a spotlight shift from you to the audience or to even the one person that we are going to speak to. It's not like in me. To what do I want to give to them? Even me and Michael can worry about right here that if we get stuck being speech coaches right here, what you people would really start to think about us, that they are speech coaches, they are getting stuck themselves. But no, that's not our focus. We are not worried about that because the goal of this webinar is not for us to not get stuck. Goal of this webinar or this conversation or whatever it is, it's to give you something that adds value to your life. And we're trying to speak in a way, although because of a sore throat, I can't, but we're trying to speak in a way that's impactful. We're trying to speak in a way that's clear, checking our pace. Am I slow enough? No, let me slow my speech down more. Let me emphasize on certain words that we want you people, that we want you to remember. Let me do this, let me do that. So it's all about what you want to give. And once that focus shift starts to happen, you stop being in your head all of the time. And that is also something that we have talked about, which is really important, staying in the present moment, getting out of your head. Even when the next person is speaking, you're not already in your head thinking about what you want to say next, but you're consciously, actively listening to them. You're in the present moment. And when it's your turn to speak, you use these things as positive distractors. How to create that impact? How to be clear with my speech? how to do this. For example, we often talk about modeling. How would my model think right now? How would my model speak right now? So you're giving yourself that Michael calls as mental puzzles
Puzzle.
that is not letting you focus on what you don't want. Oh, I hope I don't get stuck. Oh, I hope I don't have a hard time. I hope that does not happen because your brain, your mind is a lot consciously focused on what you do want to happen, how you want to create an impact, how you want to be clear, how you want all of these things to happen. Michael, I think you have given that example in various of the videos is that if two people are appearing for a job interview and provided everything else is the same, they won't judge it by, oh, he's a great speaker because he did not get stuck even once. He did not do this even once. But they're going to be more impacted by he's such an impactful speaker. Everything he or she says, it's extremely clear. I could feel what he's saying because that is something which is really important. So the focus towards value, impact, clarity, relevance, what do I want to give to them? Focus on the other person before speaking and even while speaking creates a huge impact. But I would definitely agree that this starts to happen on a bit later stages once you start to get a good hold on smoothness and everything. So this is certainly a mindset shift that you would need to make. I'm not sure, Michael, if you wanted to talk about the same thing, but that just came to my mind right now.
No. It's, that's good. I did want to just make sure that because Giovanni wanted us to expand, but you just mentioned Vic and Rick, but we can just share specifically what that is again. I did want to say that while you were talking about being present and not being in our own head, I noticed what was I doing while you were speaking. And the good thing is that I was just listening to you. And I wasn't like, I was some maybe one or two things that I wanted to say, but I didn't really think much about it, right? Which is why it took so long to recall what I wanted to say, because I wasn't just constantly thinking about, oh, I want to say this, I want to say this. I just said, okay, yeah, I'd like to talk about this, but let me just come back to the present and soak in what Farouk is saying. Because when you stay in your own head, then what can happen is until you change this habit, you'll start to scan ahead. Oh, this is what I'd like to say. Uh-oh, here's a word that I might not be able to say. And then now you're in your own head. I mean, I've had clients tell me this. So they're in their own head, not listening. Scanning ahead, thinking about what they want to say and what they possibly can't say, and then how they're going to change. Then they get anxious, and then they have lost, they've missed half the stuff that the person was talking about. So just learning to be present and be a better active listener can also reduce speaking anxiety and negative energy. Just being present, getting out of your own head, that alone can help. That being said, Vic and Rick, you just talked about it. I'll just briefly share it. Giovanni, I think you and I have talked about this because you're one of my coaching clients. It's in the system, but it's something that we use, and it's a very good tool to help you shift your thinking. And Farouk is exactly right. The only thing that we are thinking about, if anything, is what I'm saying relevant to this topic? Is this valuable? Is this going to be helpful to this audience? Am I speaking in a way that I can hold people's attention? Right. And once you develop that as a habit, it'll start to happen more automatically. So you won't have to think so much, right? So just your speaking style, like how I'm using my face and my eyebrows, right? My hands, how I'm inflecting. Am I doing something to hold your attention? My speed, emphasizing. So then clarity, the C. Am I enunciating, articulating, going slow enough, but not too slow? Am I speaking dynamically? Am I speaking in a way that, or am I sharing my thoughts logically? Am I finishing my thoughts? Sometimes I might want to say something else, but if I keep interrupting myself, it'll just get confusing and choppy. So am I logical? Am I using numbers when I need to? so that you can follow what we're saying. Finishing my thoughts, finishing my words, using some sort of logic or structure. That's what Vicenrike is. So imagine if your whole being, that is your whole body, your mind, your speaking system, your desire, everything is Vicenrike. That's all you're thinking about. Then what will happen is because you're focused more on that, on the Vicenrike, you're going to be less focused on getting stuck and on blocking or on the judgment of the other person or what they're thinking or the pressure to perform. I hope I do this. You'll have less time to think about that because you'll be just thinking about Vicenrike. So that's the power of Vic. And then Vicenrike becomes automatic. It's something in the background that you just do whenever you're speaking.
Absolutely. So, one thing that I'll just add to all of the conversation that we have had so far, because Michael, you asked about some things that you should do before a speaking situation or as a whole. And I think a very important thing for me while I was working on my speech with the system and as I've helped some other people as well was, like you say, it's the more times you anticipate or worry about it, the more times you practice. So when you notice yourself worrying about an upcoming speaking situation, especially that goes for presentations or interviews or whatever, you practice it. You practice using the skills that you're learning and anticipating that this is what you're going to be saying. This is the content of your thoughts, and you'll be extending, you'll be slowing down, you'll do whatever you need to do, and consciously practicing that over and over again. Because by practice as well, your brain starts to form those neural patterns that are really, really important. And that is where I think, Michael, visualizations also come in. Visualization, verbalization. And although I used to hear from you at the start that athletes use it and sportsmen use it and musicians use it, but I had no one that I listened to who said this. But recently, I think, but recently, I mean 1 or 2 years ago, I heard some sportsmen saying that before we get onto the field, we visualize exactly the way we want that game to go. And once we get into that game, we feel like that success has already happened just because of you having visualized. Your brain sometimes cannot actually differ between what's reality and what you're just imagining. So if you can do certain sessions of those visualizations, we often just combine them with 777 and making them more believable, thinking about the fact that that situation is happening right now. To make it a bit more realistic, you can visualize yourself getting a bit stuck here and there, but then you visualize yourself dealing with it in the best way that you can. And then you visualize yourself speaking exactly the way you want to speak, how you would like to extend, how you would like to slow down. You see people smiling, you see people applauding you. And you can do it from your own eyes, like visualizing as if you are seeing the people, or from the eyes of someone else, like you are seeing yourself from the outside speak exactly the way that you want to speak. And often people notice that once they do these visualization sessions, their hands start to sweat and stuff like that. If that's happening, that's good, because it means that your brain is believing that I'm exactly in that speaking situation right now. The advantage to that is once you get into that speaking situation, you would be like, I have been into a speaking situation like this before, and it was successful just because of you having visualized, and you might not have been in that situation at all. That is a skill which is extremely, extremely, extremely powerful. And you can go out there and you can search on YouTube how people visualize things and how it actually helps them once they get onto the field, onto the stage, onto the game. So that's something which is really important. So whenever you notice yourself worrying about it, practice it. Notice yourself worrying about it, practice it. But once it comes to like certain words or stuff, okay, so the next day I have to go to a supermarket and say this certain word, Oftentimes, what happens is that the more you try to practice it, the more you start to really think about it, the more you start to really worry about it. So, in some situations like that, it's better that whenever your mind focuses on that, you put your focus towards something else. Because constantly thinking about something and you're thinking about how you might get stuck on that word in the supermarket or how you want to avoid that and stuff like that, the more you try to do that, the more chances there might be that you actually have a hard time. So instead of your mind focus on it, like completely shifting to some other focus, completely shifting to something else. And one small point that I'll add on to right here that we were talking about with the anticipation of words, some people often make the mistake of working on specific words. Okay, I struggled with saying this word and then sitting and consciously trying to say those words over and over again. The words won't end. You can learn to say a word smoothly and then your mind would be like, okay, that's fine, but here's another word. And then you start to practice that. You're done. Here's another word. You can keep doing it for the rest of your life. The words would not end. So rather change your speaking style, change your speaking identity. The words take care of themselves. You would have noticed often that you say words and you look back and realize that how was I able to say that word? I've historically struggled saying that word. So that means that that word is not a problem at all. So you're trying to work on something that's not a problem. Problem is anticipation, worrying about it, your speaking identity. And once you work on that, the words take care of themselves. So,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
what we call cataloging. So we call that cataloging. Like you come in with a list of words, which is, it's normal when people come to us, they are aware of words and sounds and situations in which they tend to struggle, right? But you got to remember exactly what we're just saying here, that becomes a part of your belief, which is a part of your identity, that I tend to, or I always get stuck, or you might say block, we say get stuck on these words or these letters, or whenever I have to introduce myself. That's part of your belief, becomes a part of your identity. And so by using the tools that we're sharing with you and saying, I'm not going to worry about not anticipating, not worrying, I'm just going to focus on how can I start speaking more smoothly. How can I use Vic and Rick? You start doing that, and remember, it's a process, right? So you start doing it, you start seeing some successes, and then your brain starts to take the pressure off. So you don't want to catalog, because then your brain stays fixated and it starts believing, oh, you're always going to have problems with these words. I wanted to mention that we've already mentioned something else, but I just wanted us to highlight this and then talk a little bit about what to do kind of after speaking situations where people tend to beat themselves up. They ruminate. I just learned that word several years ago. They go back and they replay, right? So we'll talk about why you should not do that. But during, we've talked about a handful of different things. Number one, remembering what you have control over when you're speaking. You're breathing, you're pacing, so you're breathing, you're pacing, your self-talk, what you're saying to yourself. And what else did we say? Breathing, pacing, self-talk. I think there's one more. Your body language. You have control over your body. Keeping that in mind while you're speaking, self-talk being a big one, if not the biggest ones, self-talk, breathing. Pretty big. I'd say maybe self-talk is number one while you're speaking. And then refocusing on your model, huge for some people. Vic and Rick, which modeling is included in that. So you're refocusing on that. So these are all things that you can do while you're speaking. We also talked about being present, just emptying your mind, not thinking about anything. We talked about law of flexibility and freedom. Just knowing that you have the freedom, you have the flexibility to say things in different ways, and that you have the tools, and just saying, I can handle it. Whether I anticipate it, worry about it, or even get stuck, I can still handle this smoothly. These are all things that you can do while, during speech. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that or if you wanted to move on to what we do afterwards. I think you've explained that very well too. I've heard you talk about things not to do or to do after you have your various speaking situations.
Yep. Even I've noticed that in the people think that that was a really worse speaking situation. When they go back and try to find a success, they're often able to find a success when they're working on their speech. It's because the brain has become so used to focusing on the things that are not going well that often every speaking situation, it begins to look at it like, oh, it was not great, or the speaking situation did not go so well. So try to find successes. Even if you think that a speaking situation did not go well, try to look back at it and ask yourself, can I find a success in this speaking situation? And oftentimes you will surprise yourself because you will find success, no matter how small. Even if you felt a little more confident, even if you said the starting few words or starting few phrases out smoothly. So that is something which is really, really important. Focusing on the success, it's something that is going to keep you going. Even if you're going really well with your speech, obviously there would be times where you mess up, there would be times where you don't do so well. If you keep your focus on towards that, what you're doing is just growing the failures or just growing the times where you're not doing so well. But if you begin to realize that how much you're improving, that often keeps you motivated. And because you are flooding your mind with successes, that's what your mind focuses more on. That's what your mind chases more of. Instead of trying to avoid the failures, it's now getting into the mindset of trying to chase success. Like, that might sound the same, but it's completely different on how you focus on it. So focusing on successes is incredibly important. Write down your successes at night. Be happy about it. Celebrate it. The more you make yourself aware of your successes, the more you would actually want to go proactively into speaking situations so that you can speak, so that you can gain successes. And that once again just becomes a positive loop. So I would end it by just saying that one thing that it's important to focus on where you want to go, but also focus on where you have been. We often overlook that where we were before we started working on our speech. And once you look that part of you, and now this part of you, this is where you would start to notice improvements. But if you always look at where do I want to get, it's good to focus on that. But if you just keep looking at it, then your mindset would often be like, oh, I'm here, but I'm still not there. Yes, you're still not there, but you're also not where you used to be. So that
Right.
is something which is important to consider.
That's important, and I want to highlight that a lot of times people are hard on themselves. They beat themselves up. They only focus on the glass being half full, I mean half empty, right? As opposed to, and the way I like to break it down is say you're speaking for 5 minutes, and initially the whole 5 minutes you're struggling. And then now you have some tools and you've been working. Now you speak for 1 minute smoother than what you did before. But you still spoke for 4 minutes and you struggle, right? Where you struggled. Some people just focus on the 4 minutes. Say, well, I want to get to the place where I can speak that whole 5 minutes completely fluently, as opposed to saying, hey, because of my work and my actions, I actually was able to improve by 1 minute. That keeps you motivated, right? It keeps you motivated. And it's resiliency, right? Resiliency. You're more resilient. So now you're building traction. And now you go out and you keep working, keep working. Now it gets up to 2 minutes and then 3 minutes and 4 minutes. But if you keep focusing just on the fact it was only 1 minute, then what you're going to do is take one or two steps forward and one or two steps backwards. You're either not going to go anywhere, frustrate yourself, or even start to slide back. So this mindset shift is super important, super important. Never, Never go into this or any other program or any speaking situation expecting to be perfect, expecting to be flawless, expecting everything to work. And remember the placebo effect. Sometimes things will work, seemingly work for a while, then it'll seem like it'll stop or you'll have a dip. But the placebo effect is real. You really did experience those successes, which shows you that you can. And now you just have to build a stronger foundation, a stronger belief, a stronger neural foundation, so that what you experienced during that placebo period starts to become more permanent. So it's a real effect. Use it. And remember that repetition is the key here, right? You want to shorten the feedback cycle, the feedback loop. So that means getting out, using your tools, and exposing yourself to more and more speaking situations. And the better you get, expose yourself to higher and higher pressure speaking situations. So these are some things that you can do kind of post or after. Evaluate it. Hey, what did I do well? What can I do better next time? I spoke well for 1 minute. I felt like this. Become aware of how you're thinking and feeling in that moment so you can begin to do some things about that. And then get out there and do it again. Sometimes you have to use the law of control. For example, I never used to like to read aloud. So there were certain kinds of readings, what we call responsive reading, that somebody just told me that they had to do. I think it was Vanessa, actually. I'm just remembering because we just had a meeting. And they were supposed to read together, but then they made them read, you read this and then you read that. And so she's like, but she did it and she did it well. Sometimes when I was younger, I would say, nope, I want to be able to read the whole thing because I didn't feel comfortable at that time. So try to take control of the situations, but do it. Do it anyway. And then as you take control, at least you're still doing it, you're building your confidence. And then you say, okay, now I'm ready to do this. Now I'm ready to do this. Remember the cascading and the ripple effect. As you start to do things, it starts to affect other areas of yourself, other aspects of your mindset, your confidence, your identity, your beliefs, your speech. It's what we call the cascading effect. The ripple effect is that it also goes and starts to affect other areas of your life. So if I speak well over here in this specific situation, it can build my confidence and make me more fluent over there in that situation. It just starts to ripple out. So I wanted to share all those things with you because it's important when we talk about before, during, and after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yep, we would love any questions, any comments from everyone who's right here, or if you're watching this on YouTube or on Zoom, anything that you would like to say. Obviously, you can't say it on YouTube, but if you're on the Zoom session, you can unmute yourself, you can open up your video, and you can let us know if there is something specific that you want to ask or that you want to talk about before we
And
start to wrap it up. And also, like, give us, yeah.
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. And also, like, give us a review of how you found this session to be, because this was a little changed. We were trying to have a conversation about something, and this was not planned at all. Like, Michael did not knew what are some things that I'm going to talk about and ask him. So it was a random conversation about this, and let us know if it was helpful, and any comments or questions or anything that you would like to share on this.
Yeah, good. And while we answer Isaac's question, there's a link there, takes you to our main web page, and on there you can find out more about our one-on-one coaching. You can work with Farouk, you can work with myself. It's an investment. You have to think about it like that. Some people have been working on their own for a while and they've reached a plateau. And if you know that your speech is holding you back in some way, for some people it's not financial. Some people it's just their personal life, their self-esteem, their confidence, their ability to fulfill their purpose in life. Sometimes it's about that for some people. For other people, sometimes it's more about it's holding them back in their career, and they know it. And they know that they have all the knowledge and the proficiency to go to the next level, and they've tried, they've been working on their own, or they've worked with someone else. We can help you as long as you are willing to do the work and follow our guidance. We can help you. I'm working with some people right now who are severe, 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 and we're seeing them speaking smoothly. Hard work, but it's taking time. So we got coaching. You work with Farouk, myself, our Virtual Speech Masters Club. You can plug in real life practice. We have our self-study, and then I also posted a link for our affirmations. The easiest step, if you're watching this now, it's very easy, very inexpensive, and all of our coaching clients and students are using these affirmations. So sorry about that, Isaac. What's your question? Did you want to turn on your mic, or did you want to type it in? It's completely up to you. And then
Thank
Vusa,
you very
Vusa.
much, Michael. Just a quick one. In fact, I just want to appreciate you so much. I found you on YouTube, and then I have been listening to your audios, and then it was so powerful. So I just want to appreciate you. And then I am planning to sign on the Pro 90D. So in fact, you are a godsend. Prior to that, my speech was, I don't know, I stutter on each word, but after seeing you, watching your videos and listening, look, it's far better. And I know that when I sign onto the Pro 90D, I mean, it's going to be there. So I just want to appreciate you so much and say a very big thank you to you and Farouk. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
Thank
thank
you.
you, Isaac. That's inspiring for us, man. Thank you so much. We look forward to working with you. So just let us know when and send us an email. Just all kinds of ways to get in contact with us on our site.
Hey, Marco, can you hear
Vusa.
me?
Yes,
Yes.
sir. Yep. Okay, go ahead,
I
brother.
might as well same or ask my question
Okay.
verbally. So I think it's a point that Farouk mentioned about when one is anticipating and worrying, or they're thinking too much about a situation that they're worrying about. I think Farouk said that in those situations, it's best to practice more. So my question to both of you is that does over practicing, can that actually lead to more anxiety or worry?
Farouk.
Yeah. So, very good point. Very good question right here, Vusa. And by the way, just a comment like Isaac, so happy to have you here. And it's a huge success, even being here for the first time, if you are and opening your mic and saying something on Zoom. And it already shows how much you've improved your speech by watching the videos and everything. Like you said, you used to stutter on every single word. So that's really, really good, man. Big heads up on that. And we look forward to seeing you more and more inside the system. Musa, so an interesting question that you mentioned right here. I would say if generally you're practicing, if it's an interview, if it's a presentation, and you're practicing, okay, in an interview, let's say, they would ask me these things. This is how I would answer the questions. This is how I would structure it. This is how I would be extending. This is how I would be breathing. This is how I would be doing all of this. So the more time you start to worry about that, oh, I hope I don't get stuck, you start to practice that speaking situation generally as a whole. But problem comes if you are anticipating worrying about a certain word, let's say, and then you are constantly in your head just thinking about the fact that I will have to say that word, and you're consciously trying to say that word over and over again. So that can bring some anxiety or stuff into play. You can practice if you want to say that word, how you will blend it with it and stuff like that. Don't just keep doing it over and over again, because what that would just do is that the whole day before or the hours leading up to that, you're flooding your mind with thinking about that word over and over and over and over and over and over again. And when that word comes, You once again worry about it, anticipate it, and get stuck on it because you have already been doing it for the last few hours and stuff like that. Like we explained, the words in itself, they are not problems. The problem is you worrying about them, you anticipating them. So if you feel like the practice that you are doing is more in general terms and it's helping you feel good, if it's helping you feel more confident, then that's good. But if there is any specific word or something you're feeling bad about it, you feel like you would get stuck on it, and you're trying to practice how to not get stuck on that word instead of practicing the whole thing, the whole conversation or presentation or whatever, then I would suggest not to do it and focus on the general practice or focusing on something else, if that makes sense. And Michael, if you have to
have real quick, I'll just add, there's private practice, there's the practices that we recommend, then there's public practice, meaning real life practice. There's practice for a specific meeting or presentation or interview, and I recommend practicing those kinds of things, that is meetings, interviews, presentations. Do them in small chunks, rehearse them, practice them so that you've internalized it, but don't overdo it, right? But practice as much as you want so that you're comfortable, you're fluent, you're confident. Then there's probably a point, we don't know where that is, but there's probably a point at which you just feel like, I got this, I don't need to be perfect at this, right? Don't try not just to say, okay, this needs to be absolutely perfect, putting too much pressure. So it's that kind of private practice. Then there's thinking about your speaking situations as practice. Every time I speak, it's practice. Can't do too much of that. So yes, you can over practice, and Farouk just explained, you know, some of those situations.
Just like to add something onto that, don't flood your mind with practicing how you would not get stuck on something. So don't practice not getting stuck. Practice how you want that presentation, interview, stuff to look at, to look like as a whole. Like we talked about how you want to create that value, how you want to have an impact. But don't keep practicing how I would not get stuck on this word or on these words, because what you're just doing is overthinking about those words, and that overthinking can be a problem while you're there. So yeah, practice to speak smoothly. Don't practice to not get stuck, if that makes sense.
Thank you very much. That makes sense now. Thank you.
Thank you, Vusa. So we have another question, and then we'll wrap up here from YouTube. About stamina, basically energy, and then we have a question from Haley. So stamina, yeah, I found that the more I spoke, the longer I spoke, the more stamina I built up. And you just learn how to make sure that you keep yourself hydrated, that you have enough rest physically, and that you're breathing enough, right? Because if you're not breathing enough, then that your body and your brain's not getting enough oxygen. So you have to learn how to make sure that you're breathing during the whole time that you're speaking, as well as the other things that I just mentioned. If you're speaking for long periods of time, and you will build your stamina when you do that. So you can increase your stamina. Here's something else that I say: if you're feeling tired, and it could be because of the time and day, the time of day, or just that your brain is tired and just don't have a lot of energy and willpower, what I would do and what I have done is I'm going to breathe more, breathe deeper and breathe more. I'm going to slow my speech down in many cases, but also I may speak more proactively. Well, Michael, what does proactively speaking mean? What does that look like? That means I'm going to actually infuse more energy into my speech. I'm going to make it more dynamic, but more on the slower side. So I'm going to emphasize more. I'm going to pause sometimes a little more, or I'm going to use my body more, right? Or inflect more. So what I'm doing is, rather than allowing that low level of energy to take over and wall my speech down, I'm being, which is reactive, I'm being proactive by using my body more, using my voice more, breathing more. And what I'll find is if I'm in that slump, that proactive speaking brings me out. Just say I'm just tired mentally, and I have to still, I'll speak more proactively. So that's my advice in terms of energy and how you can, in a sense, regain some energy and increase your stamina.
And yeah,
Good.
just to like say something very small on that, when you're tired, when you're ill, when you're not feeling good, don't try to focus on a lot of stuff, like extending and blending and breathing and finishing, articulating, inflecting, using your hands, modeling. Just pick one thing. I'll just breathe more, or I'll just slow down more. Because when you're already overloaded, or when you're already ill or already not doing well, try to focus on all of the things and you might get even more confused. Pick one very small little thing that gets you or triggers your new speaking style. And that is the easiest thing for you to focus on. And that in itself is often enough to get you into your new speaking style. And everything might be said that.
So I think Haley had something,
Yeah.
either a question or comment.
Hello.
Hey
Hello.
there,
Are
Haley.
you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask you one quick question, really. If you're in a situation or you're waiting, say, in a queue, and it's a situation that you're kind of anticipating, and then you're aware of someone coming in behind you as well, so you've got, as well as the situation you're anticipating, sometimes I also then worry about that person behind me overhearing me. And that just adds another layer to the situation. I just wondered if you had any tips on how to deal with that, please.
So I would say, like when I was first coming right here for my master's, so we had our visa interviews right there. And when I was going for my visa interview, I thought that it's going to be in a room or somewhere. But when I went for the interview, so they were sitting like people in the bank, sitting on counters. And I was speaking on a mic with them, and everyone in the band could hear my voice. So that did feel a bit uncomfortable, I would say. But it's just about changing the focus towards what do you want to say? How you want to say it, because you can keep trying to avoid focusing on the person who is behind, but the more you're going to try to avoid that, the more that might happen. Instead of trying to avoid focusing on him or her, focusing more on towards how can I say what I need to say in the best way, in the most clear way, impactful way, if it's required. Focusing more on that. So once again, it's a game of focus shift. Instead of I'm focusing on the person behind me and that he or she is hearing me and how I don't want that, towards how I want to speak and what is the message that I want to get across to the person that I'm going to be speaking to. And it's a mindset shift that you have to keep doing. You say that I'll focus on that, and your mind goes back to that. Then you shift your focus back to that. It goes back to that. So once you keep doing that, you learn this art where ultimately you reach to a point where you don't really care about what they are thinking or if anyone else is thinking. I was just about to say, Michael, what you stated, your wife used to say sometimes that I don't give an F about it. So.
Give an F, or I don't give a damn who's there. I'm just gonna take my time, say what I want the way I want to say. And so we created an affirmation, not using the curse words, but we're just like, I don't care. It doesn't matter who's there. I'm still gonna take my time and say what I want to say the way that I want to say it. So that can be a helpful affirmation. And it can be challenging, like even for me. Sometimes if I'm doing something and my wife is walking around in the background, it can be distracting. But I guess because I have a lot of discipline, I can just reshift my focus right to what I'm, but it can be distracting if somebody's like standing back there and, like depending on the situation. So,
Yeah, and
focus
for
is
Michael,
key.
It used to happen a lot in when I started doing these webinars. So once I used to do them myself, I was fine. But whenever I realized that you were there with me, so sometimes I would focus on obviously, like you have coached me, so how you would judge me on how I'm explaining things to people. But the more that I did them and the more I kept shifting my focus towards from what Michael is thinking about me to what do I want to give, that now the focus does not get to that. So it's
Exactly.
a focus shift that you do. And with affirmations, with a little self-talk, you start to get there, I would say.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
All right. Very good.
Cool.
So virtually all this is about habits, forming new habits of thinking, new habits of focusing. I'm going to focus on this, keep focusing. I'm going to start doing this, start doing that. I'm going to start being more present. It's all about habits. Repetition, all of it. So thank you guys. It's been a pleasure. We're glad that these are helpful. We'll continue to do these at least twice a month. We ask some of our previous clients to pop in. You guys can pop in. You can be on video if you want. Ask questions, make comments. That's exactly why we're here. So thank you, and we'll see you all the next time. Please remember to visit our website and check out the resources that are available so that we can help to more quickly take you to that next level. For some of you that want an easy first step, I'm just pasting the little affirmations bundle there. It's like $24, but there's a powerful set of affirmations that all of my coaching clients and our self-study students are pretty much using. All right, Farouk.
My friend Michael, I look
Okay.
forward to, we look forward to seeing everybody in more of these sessions. Always feel free to reach out to us on our emails, on the Slack group. And if you're looking for the one-on-one coaching, you can always book a free assessment session with us. And you can just talk about certain things and we can see if it's a good fit. The Virtual Speech Masters, you'll find that on the website. Michael, could we also share a link to that, the Virtual Speech Masters, perhaps, right here? If you haven't
Yes.
already, let me do that.
Yeah, I got it. I got it right here. Yeah.
So it's also a great place to put into practice whatever you have been learning. And yeah, keep joining these sessions and keep letting us know how they have been helping you and what are the things that we can keep improving.
Very good. Okay, we'll see you all next time.
Hey, everybody.
And Farouk, I'll send you a Slack with our meeting link, and then we can invite Charmaine.